battery. No. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of His Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. It is good to be with you again this week, and just to give a shout out to all the moms and those who have impacted our lives for the sake of the gospel. We give thanks to God for you, especially today. Mothers and grandmothers and aunts and godmothers and oh my goodness, you know, when you think about Mother's Day, and it's a different world we live in, I received just the other day from my wife. I think it was her subtle way of saying, don't forget Mother's Day. Just saying. Stuff happens, right? So this is from a dear friend of ours in another ministry, and she sends this out, praying for and with all women and men and kids in the many layers of Mother's Day. And this is from our friend, so my wife sent this to me. Here's just a few. Holding space for those, for the ones who, loving a mother in heaven, longing to become a mother, experiencing a hard relationship with their mother, working through struggles of motherhood, aching as a mother with a child in heaven, mothering a child who was not born to them, about to become a mother, and all the ones who show up in all the ways of a mother. Happy Mother's Day. I was reminded this week as I was preparing of, because I was doing a cross-reference in one section of the sermon to Paul's letter, second letter to Timothy, and he calls Timothy, you know, my son. It's not really his biological son, but it's his son in faith, right? And so he's writing to Timothy in chapter 1. He says, I thank God whom I serve as my forefathers did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you, Timothy, in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded, Timothy, of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice, and now I am persuaded now lives in you. And then he says, fan into flame the gift that was given to you. The ladies in our lives share an important role. They have an important role in our lives as instruments of God's grace, and so we thank God for them today. I want to spend some time with both sections of Scripture from Acts chapter 1 and Luke chapter 24, which really have the same theme. It's the same message, in a sense. And at the same time, I want to say that together they come together to make a whole, that God was in Christ keeping His promises, and now He ascends to the right hand of the Father. This past Thursday was Ascension Day, 40 days after the resurrection. Jesus ascends, and He had shown Himself to them. And in Pentecost, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, we remember the birthday of the church, that's going to come next Sunday, you know, so you know, hang on, all right? It's going to happen, right? And so the disciples are brought together by Jesus in this time before His ascension, after His resurrection, and they still, many of them, like, don't get it. You ever been with people that don't get it? I'm often the one that doesn't get it. But I want to encourage you today with this central thought. So if you forget everything else, this is the one thing I want you to hold on to. As the risen Messiah, the risen Christ, the promised one of Jesus, is crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that's really what the ascension is about. He goes to the right hand of the Father, and he's welcomed back to the right hand of the Father where He intercedes for us. You can read that in Scripture also. And I just picture the angels, you know, like, yeah, you know, do we get to go now and close things down? He said, okay. So he's being crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We should break into the Hallelujah chorus. I'm just saying, you know, that would be cool. the right hand of the Father. His chosen people are poised, that's you and me, the all believers in Christ, his chosen people are poised for celebration and service through lives framed by four divine directives. I think of these words of Scripture from Acts chapter 1, and you'll see it also in Luke. God gives us four directives, because you kind of wonder, okay, so Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. He is taught, he is healed, he has been crucified, he's been raised from the dead. You think, and then what? You're going to leave now? You're going back to the Father? What's the deal with that? So what are disciples, what are Jesus followers supposed to be doing? How are we supposed to live? So four divine directives I want to share with you today. And the first one is this, and it comes from these words. On one occasion, while he, Jesus, was eating with them, he gave them this command. This is from Acts chapter 1. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait. In other words, rest. Just wait. How are you doing with waiting? I have great difficulty waiting. I'm probably the guy that honks behind you if you don't go in a green light. Now, granted, I spent a few years in Missouri going to school, and I was pastor there for 10 years. You know, Missourians, you know, it's like they don't pay attention to the red lights. But when it turns green, they know that other people aren't paying attention to the red lights, so they just wait. Now, call me crazy, but I think if we just all obeyed the lights, everything would be fine. No, we can get very impatient. I have trouble waiting. I'm very indecision is what drives you crazy. For me, it's just make a decision, even if it's a bad one. We can clean up as we go, you know? But he says, wait. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait, what? For the gift. We can afford to wait on the Lord because all the promises have been fulfilled. From Luke chapter 24 was read for us. Jesus said to his disciples, you know, all things had been fulfilled. All the promises had been accomplished. Salvation was won. All things have been kept. We can afford to wait on the Lord because he is victorious. We don't work toward victory. We work from victory. So we're not trying to work our way up and into a lather to be acceptable to God. He's already made us acceptable in Jesus Christ, cleansed us of our sin, empowered us with his Spirit, and now we can afford to wait until he gives us clear direction to move forward. We walk in that faith. Our salvation is secure because the price has been paid, the blood has been shed, Christ has risen from the dead, and so we don't worry about the when. When are you coming back, Jesus? When are you going to establish your kingdom? When are you going to kick these Romans out? When are you going to, you know, deal with all the sin? What's going to happen? We don't have to worry about the when or the how. We can focus on the who, and who's the who? It's Jesus. It's the victory that we have in him. It's Jesus. So while we're waiting, while we're resting in the grace of God, resting in the accomplished work of Christ, resting in what he has done for us, not working out our own position in Christ, but finding our position in Christ and resting there, that Sabbath rest, peaceful rest, we receive a gift. It's while we rest that leads to receiving. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So as we're waiting on Christ, he promises to empower us with his Holy Spirit, all the Holy Spirit with his gifts. Look at the person next to you and say, you're a gift to me from the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters in Christ, fellow believers in Christ, who have the Holy Spirit indwelling them as promised in Scripture, if you're a believer in Christ, you are a gift to people around you. all the gifts that God has given you, the spiritual gifts, the gift of faith, but the spiritual gifts too are to be in service to one another. The spirit of power. Paul says to Timothy, as he affirms him in his faith, he says, you know, I remember the faith that was in your mother Lois and your grandmother, no, your grandmother Lois, your mother Eunice. I remember that, fan into flame. God has not given us, verse 7 says, God has not given us a spirit of timidity, of shyness with the gospel, but a spirit of power and self-control. God's Spirit wants to break forth in our lives and in the life of the church. As we rest in Christ, we receive afresh the Holy Spirit as He comes to us again and again. But we need to slow down. Rest in Christ. Spend time in the Word. Allow God's Spirit to feed us and strengthen us. Give us words to say. The Spirit of truth, the Comforter. Jesus said, if I don't go, in John chapter 16, if I don't go, if I don't leave, I can't send you the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. So it's for your good, friends. It's for your good that I go ascend to the right hand of the Father. So I can send the Comforter, the parakaleo, the paraclete. It's a great word. I think of Biney Dodge. Biney Dodge is my track coach. I came in last in the 2 mile. I think everyone should come in last in the 2 mile, quite frankly. Now that I look back, right? But it didn't do well. And he just put his arm around me. And the paraclete is the one who puts his arm around you, whispers in your ear, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Here are the three things we're going to work on. Parakaleo, to come alongside and speak strength. Kaleo, called alongside to speak encouragement. To speak encouragement, to empower us, to coach us, to point us to Jesus again and again. Speaking of mothers, I had one. And I don't know where this is going. I just started. Okay, so it was my mom that really shared with me kind of the nuts and bolts of the Christian faith. I mean, my dad was a Christian too, and I went to confirmation class, and my pastor said, you know, our hearts are a cesspool of sin. And he was a big guy. He was just big, all right? Your heart is a cesspool of sin. And I didn't know what a cesspool was, you know, but I was like too afraid to ask, you know, because it's bad. Whatever it is, it's bad. Your heart is a cesspool of sin. There is absolutely no hope for me. If I ever take communion, I'm just going to fry, burn. There'll be a grease spot on the carpet, you know. So I went home, you know, and I timidly asked, Mom, what's a cesspool? And she said, well, come here. So the Holy Spirit, Parakaleo, came alongside me in the person of my mother. And she puts her arm around me, and we looked out the east window of our kitchen on the farmhouse. You see that out there? I said, yeah, that's the drainage ditch for our septic system. We'd lost cows in there, never to be seen again. I mean, that's where you put stuff that you want to, you just bloop, 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 okay? And if the wind was from the east, not pleasant. She said, that's a cesspool. Your heart is a cesspool of sin. I was sure. And then the same pastor said, before you come to the Lord's Supper, you need to examine yourself, because if you take the Lord's Supper improperly, without examining yourself, says the Apostle Paul, you take it to your eternal damnation. And I was about to be confirmed, take communion for the first time, and I'm going, okay, so my heart's cesspool of sin. I'm supposed to examine myself. Mom? I'm supposed to examine myself. I don't even know what the test is, okay? She said, just ask yourself four questions. The first question is this: are you a sinner? Yeah, I'm a sinner. Number two. Do you trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior? Yeah. Number three, do you believe that in the sacrament, the body and blood of Christ are truly present there, even though you don't get it, but you get it? You receive it for the forgiveness of your sin? I said, that's what I've been taught. That's what I believe. Do you desire the Holy Spirit to turn your life away from sin? Do you desire to live a better life for Jesus? I said, yeah. Then you're ready to go. You've examined yourself. Step up to the plate and receive. I said, should have been a pastor, Mom. she explained, okay, God bless her. We need moms like that who are used by the Holy Spirit to be the paraclete. We need dads like that. We need friends like that. We need fellow brothers and sisters. We need people who are instruments of God's grace, as people are resting in the forgiveness we have in Christ, to also let them receive the power of the Holy Spirit and to be taught. And then he says, he goes on, not only are we to rest and to receive, we're also directed to speak. So when the disciples met together, they asked, Lord, is it at this time that you're going to restore the kingdom of Israel? I mean, they're still thinking battle. He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So we're to speak, we're to rest in Christ and his accomplished work, we're to receive the power of the Holy Spirit, and we're to speak, and the topic of our conversation is Jesus. The topic of our conversation is the salvation that has been accomplished by Jesus Christ, his triumph over us and over our sin, that we might be his people again, brought back into fellowship with the Father. We're not to worry, Jesus said, about what to say when you're brought before, you know, kings and magistrates and so on. You get into trouble for being a Christian. Don't worry about what to say. He said the Holy Spirit will give you words to say. You'll be given the very words to say. In fact, he says in John chapter 7 that whoever has, you know, the living water of faith in Jesus, the Holy Spirit, out of him will gush. Flows of living water. We're going to be able to speak the words beyond our understanding and comprehension. Don't worry about it. Just speak about Jesus. And the place we're supposed to speak about Jesus is everywhere. In Jerusalem. What's your Jerusalem? Well, my Jerusalem is my home with my family, my kids. Wherever you have influence, that's your Jerusalem, right there. And then in Judea. And from there you have different levels of responsibility, different levels of influence. And then Samaria, you cross over into Samaria, into another people group, another language maybe. People that you, it's the them I was talking about last week, right? Into the remotest parts of the world. Everywhere. We're to be instruments of God's grace, speaking the name and the message and the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And the purpose of our speaking is people. It's people. People for whom Christ died. People who are destined, apart from faith in Christ, to an eternity in hell. Not because God wants it that way, but because people have chosen to ignore the goodness and grace of God. But we have the privilege of being his instruments to tell them about Jesus. We have an ever-expanding sphere of influence. And we're directed to watch. And as he was taken up before their very eyes and a cloud hid him from their sight, they were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why are you standing here looking up into the sky? This same Jesus whom you saw taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. So we rest. We receive, we speak, and we watch and wait. Watching for Jesus. How many of you saw the Aurora Borealis? Between cloud cover and light pollution, I got nothing, okay? But God bless you. I saw a lot of friends, living in dark places that they got to see it, so wonderful, good for them. I grew up on that stuff, you know, in the wintertime, but wonderful, wonderful. You watch, you look, you're looking up, anticipation. We look with anticipation. Jesus is coming back, not to escape, but not with anxiety, you know, like, oh, he's coming back, but we're excited about him coming back. We look with confidence, he's coming back. Not with confusion. What does this mean? We're looking up, not looking down. How many of you know that we live in a kind of a troubled world? Preach. You know, it's a mess. And I'm thinking, I could preach this every week. My entire life, the generation before me, and a generation after us, three generations before us, four generations, and we could have all said, this world's a mess. Since Eden and the goofiness of Adam and Eve, thank you very much. You could say this world is messed up. What we want to do is we're troubled in troubled times. The world is a mess. And Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. What we often do, and I want to guard you against this, friends, is to say our world is a mess, we live in troubled times, but Jesus is coming back. Because what but does is it negates everything that goes before it. Like that doesn't matter. We don't have to pay attention to that. Friends, we need to pay attention to our world because it's made up of what? People. People matter. People matter. So yeah, the world is troubled and Jesus is coming back. Therefore, we rest ourselves in his accomplished work. We work from rest to his power to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. We speak everywhere about the topic of Jesus because people are important and we look in anticipation for his return. The same way you saw him go into heaven, you shall also see him come back. And then I think right away of cross-reference in Thessalonians chapter 4. I think it is. I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not as others who have no hope, writes Paul. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so also those who are with Jesus will also, right? They're going to come back. There's going to be this wonderful, the sound of the trumpet and the mighty call of God and the shout of the archangel, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and after this, all who've been in Christ. Friends, if you've read the back of the book, we win, right? We win. It's not because we're so awesome, but because Christ is so awesome. So as we wait for his return, we look up. I always dare people to go to the, used to be a shopping mall. I don't know where you go now. I guess IKEA. You can go anywhere. You just walk around looking up. And after a while, people start looking up. What's he looking at? And I said, what are you looking up at? I'm waiting for Jesus to come back. That'd be a great opening to a witness, wouldn't it? I mean, that'd be just so fun. If you're not an extrovert, you know, that could cause you a little anxiety, okay? It will certainly cause anyone that's with you anxiety. All right? Like, this guy is nuts. But I just think we need to live our lives just kind of looking up. It could be any day. And that's okay. The world is messed up. But we can rest in the accomplished work of Jesus. We know we've received his Holy Spirit. We want more and more of that to be encouraged in our walk and our faith and empowered to speak his word to those around us, to speak about Jesus to anyone and everyone, because people matter until he comes back. Amen? Amen? Amen. All right. And again, happy Mother's Day. And if you've got a special lady in your life that has impacted your life positively for Jesus, may the Lord continue to bless you in that relationship. Please stand as we go to God in prayer, and then also Nicene Creed will speak in just a moment. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. We thank you that as we await the return of our Savior Jesus to accomplish the bring about the new heaven and the new earth, we thank you that mission is already accomplished, promises have been kept, and we've been sent on a mission to be impact players in the lives of people around us. Lord, help us to rest in your accomplished work, Lord Jesus. Help us to trust you, Holy Spirit, as you're poured out into our lives and we're made your people, we're empowered to speak. Help us to speak boldly and help us to live lives that look up with anticipation to your return and to live with hope. Live with hope. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.